Last week, we explored the shepherd-sheep relationship. And when you compare the Western world model of shepherding with the Mideastern model of shepherding at the time of Jesus, there was a vast difference. Here in the Western world, the shepherd drives the sheep from behind, using the sheepdog to keep the sheep together and moving forward. Because what compels the sheep in that model is fear of the shepherd and the sheepdog. So they are always trying to get away from the shepherd as he drives them. With shepherding in Jesus' day and in Jesus' culture, the shepherd leads from the front. The sheep don't run from the shepherd. They run towards him and follow him as he calls them, because the sheep know him well and trust him. They don't fear the shepherd. They fear being without him. They don't fear being too close to the shepherd. They fear not being close enough. So they follow after him out of trust and dependence. And we spoke of the similar difference between how the Pharisees treated God's flock and how Jesus treated them. There was a context that Jesus came into and spoke from 2,000 years ago. That context was a Pharisee-ruled society of believers. Pharisees who loved money treated the flock harshly and replaced much of the scriptures with the abusive rules of their rabbis. That was a dark time for the flock of God. And when Jesus came, he brought a new kingdom, characterized by love and grace and beauty and light and life. Now we want to explore the shepherd-hearted love of Jesus as it relates particularly to lost or wandering sheep. Jesus told a parable about a shepherd who had lost one lamb, one little lamb, and how the shepherd reacts to the loss of that one little lamb and what the shepherd does for that one little lamb. And that parable speaks volumes about Jesus and his relationship to each member of his flock. No matter how unimportant we might be in the estimation of ourselves or others. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 begins with, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.'" Well, let's dig into this parable a bit. But before we do, I want to read something as a very vivid contrast to what Jesus is describing about the shepherd in this parable. In the book of Ezekiel, several hundred years before the coming of Jesus, the leaders of God's people were very much like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. So in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, we read these words, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." What a tragic situation. What injustice. And what strong language God used to express his displeasure. Not at the wandering sheep. His condemnation is not for them, but to the shepherds of God's people that use the flock for their personal gain, but do not care for the flock. How strange it is that people who receive positions of authority, supposedly for the purpose of serving the people, become corrupt and self-serving. Well, it's nothing new. We see it in politics, in government service, in various institutions, and most disturbingly, as in the case here, in service of God and God's people. And the flock is neglected, even taken advantage of. And this grieves the heart of God. These verses I've just read describe the Pharisees and all abusers of God's people who came before or after them. But fear not. This has not escaped the notice of the living God. And God sends his own Son to set things right. And that is the context that Jesus came into. So it helps to understand what Jesus says and why he says it. And note that one of the things that God has against the shepherds in Israel's day is that they did not seek the lost sheep. And God said, "My sheep wandered over the mountains and on every high hill." He calls them my sheep. Did you notice that? Just because the sheep is wandering. The sheep might be wandering far and might be wandering long, but it doesn't mean he or she is not part of God's flock. So let's take a look at Jesus' view of all this as we compare his parable to Ezekiel. It goes to the very heart of what Jesus means when he says he is the good shepherd. Luke 15 and Matthew 18 both have the same parable, but we're focusing on Luke. It says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" Two phrases I want to focus on in that verse. Go after and until he finds it. A lost sheep. Even one lost lamb, if it's truly a lamb and not some other creature, is precious to this loving shepherd. The wandering one consumes the shepherd's thoughts. So he has to go after her. He has to. But how far? Well, some versions translate it that he will go into the mountains in search of that lost sheep. But how long? Well, the answer is in those words, until he finds it. That shepherd will search for his lost sheep until he finds it. Then what? Verse 5. And when he finds it, that wandering sheep has caused great consternation for the shepherd. He's worried. He's fretted. He's probably shed tears. He's felt the pain of her absence. On top of that, he's searched far and wide at much personal labor and expense. So when he finds it, he scolds the sheep. Does it say that? No. No, it doesn't say that at all. Instead, the shepherd drags it home and locks it up. No, it doesn't say that either. Far from rebuking it or beating it or locking it up, it says he joyfully, not grudgingly, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. What intimacy. What affection. Now, that's the sort of thing parents do for their beloved child. He puts it on his shoulders and goes home. But the shepherd does not stop there. Friends and neighbors alike are all called out for this celebration of the reuniting of the sheep with the shepherd. And it's Jesus that says this, Jesus himself. That gives us a glimpse into his shepherd-hearted love. And if this is Jesus' view of his lost lambs, oh, it should be ours as well. In Luke 19:10, Jesus says something very interesting that directly applies to this. It says, for the Son of Man, that's a name Jesus often calls himself by, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came for that purpose. And if that's Jesus' reason for coming, it must also be our reason for being here, seeking lost sheep. Now, we probably all know believers and winners that have no church home. There are many reasons for this, but oftentimes it's because they were mistreated by someone in their church. Pioneer Church has had her share of abusive people over the years who've driven tender-hearted lambs from this place, and I hope we can bring some of them back. One of the failings of the shepherds in Ezekiel's time, God said, "You've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured." That's what the church should be about. The church is supposed to be a place of healing, not a place of wounding, a place of binding, not a place of injuring, which is why a church can never tolerate someone who speaks to others in an unkind, angry, degrading, or hurtful way, or engages in abusive behavior, because these are not the actions of a sheep, but rather a wolf. And it's the lost lambs that Jesus wants us to be a home for. So let's all be about the task of seeking out the wandering ones, gently carrying them back to the fold, because Jesus is such a caring shepherd, for they're all Jesus' lambs, and we are Jesus' partners in his shepherding love. And if you're like that lamb that has been wandering in the mountains, know that the Good Shepherd has been searching for you and longs to bring you home with great celebration. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.